This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chicago Police Department could see more than 400 positions left unfilled under Mayor Brandon Johnson's proposed city budget. And this could slow down progress on police reform. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Johnson's proposed property tax hike isn't the only thing that's got people's heads turning. To be able to close a nearly $1 billion budget hole, the Johnson administration proposes cutting vacant jobs across the city's departments, and that includes CPD. On top of the impact that could have on police reform, Chicago police officers are already leaving the department in droves. We sat down with Chicago Sun-Times assistant criminal justice editor Tom Shuba. Tom started by explaining what vacancies at the police department would be cut under this proposed budget. Here's Tom.
One of the key offices that we focused on in our story is the Office of Constitutional Policing and Reform. And essentially, this is the arm of the police department that is charged with ensuring that CPD complies with a federal consent decree, which the department entered into after the killing of Laquan McDonald by a Chicago police officer. And our progress has been extraordinarily slow thus far with getting there. We've only reached full compliance with 7% of this huge range of provisions, essentially overhauling the whole department. So this Office of Constitutional Policing and Reform is taking a huge haircut here under this proposal. We don't know where this is going to go moving forward, but also the Office of Community Policing, which is handles CAPS, which is a program that most people in Chicago are aware of, and they work closely with residents, members of the community, to, you know, help people out and do something that the mayor has really committed to doing, which is community policing. So those two are the real big question marks. But across the board, different units and portions of the police department are taking a hit under this proposal.
Yeah, and these are pretty big hits, right? So that first one that you mentioned, the Office of Constitutional Policing and Reform, its budget being shrunk by 45% to about $3.7 million. And the Office of Community Policing budget would be slashed by nearly half, dropping that down to about $5.57 million. So are these cuts laying people off?
Well, we don't know for sure. A lot of these, the positions being cut are vacancies. And I think overall throughout the city, the police vacancies that are being eliminated amount to hundreds for the second straight year. The police, you know, vacancies being eliminated make up the majority of vacancies being eliminated across city departments. Overall, though, the police budget is climbing ever so slightly. It's still, you know, over $2 billion. And that the increase, though, is largely tethered to a salary increase that was included in the FOP budget that Mayor Johnson finalized.
Right.
So that accounts for the increase. But then we see throughout different arms of the police department, you know, their budgets are going down.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been a cause for concern for some people.
So then I guess what comes to mind, too, is how this could affect the force's ability to do community policing.
Right. I mean, there are, you know, these CAPS meetings for a lot of people, especially in the communities affected by violence, are really go-to places where residents feel like they can go and they can have their voices heard, or through that they can be connected with people in the police department to, you know, voice their concerns, get problems solved in the community.
Yeah.
So we don't know what impact this will have, but it is quite significant.
Well, tell us how exactly cutting these vacancies would affect the department's ability to implement reforms.
Yeah. So one, I spoke to Bob Boyk, who he used to essentially be the civilian chief of CPD's reform efforts. And he quit during a fight with the former police superintendent, David Brown, about staffing in that office. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty big blow up and, you know, controversy within the police department. And what Bob said was essentially, we need civilian employees in this office, not only to like make sure that reforms being implemented, but just to track them, to say like, hey, no, we checked that box, because there are within the consent decree hundreds of what they call paragraphs, essentially provisions that are specific reforms that need to be done.
Yeah. Actually, remind us what those are.
Yeah. So consent decree paragraphs are, you know, it could be something as simple as like, you know, they implemented a new foot pursuit policy. So first you have to create the policy, mm-hmm. would be the first step of complying with the reform. Then you would need to train on it. And then the third step is to implement it in real time on the ground. And so what Bob said was like, there's so many of these and we need to make sure that we're tracking each step of the way.
Right.
Obviously we have an independent monitor that oversees all of this, but within the department, they have to stay on top of this.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly important. Although consent decrees, which are essentially federal court orders, typically take years and years to mm-hmm. complete. We've seen other major departments like the LAPD take over a decade.
And as you said, we've been going pretty slow.
We have been going slow, and it's expected to a certain extent, but there has been hiccups, and the hiccups are typically criticized by this monitor who says, you know, you aren't prioritizing this the way that it should be prioritized. And we're expecting a new report from the monitor coming out soon, and I would guess that Maggie Hickey, she's a former federal prosecutor.
Yeah.
She's taken to essentially writing like a letter at the start of the reports in the last handful. And it's her kind of broad just takeaways. And I would imagine that she will be commenting in that letter on this decision to cut the budget.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they're you know, highly critical, you know, or, you know, bits that she's had in these letters. And so I would assume that she's going to take this on head on, because staffing is so important to managing and getting these things done.
Right. So what about the mayor, Mayor Johnson? How has he responded to concerns that his proposed cuts would impact reforms?
Yeah, I mean, essentially he kind of shrugged it off. I would say last week at a news conference, he didn't really address it head on or in any really substantive way. And I would guess that he's going to be facing a lot of pressure to rethink that proposal. Obviously, this is a budget that's going to need approval from the city council.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to need approval by the end of the year to comply with, you know, state rules. So I'm assuming there's going to have to be some negotiation
yeah.
there, and a lot of it is going to be, obviously, the police budget is always a hot button issue during budget negotiations. So I'm assuming there will be a back and forth, and that office, constitutional policing, will kind of be front of mind for some alders who, you know, this is on everyone at this point, right? With the city, we've made this commitment to change the culture, change the policies, change the police department, and you got to spend to do it.
Yeah.
And experts are saying this is kind of a step in the wrong direction.
The opposite direction. Could these cuts to vacant positions, could that be thought of as defunding CPD?
Yeah. You know, I talked to Joe Ferguson, who used to be the inspector general. He's now the president of the Civic Federation. And he said that he feels essentially like this could signal that sort of thing. And that was his concern. And one thing that he said was, were these cuts negotiated with the police department, or were they imposed on the police department by the Johnson administration? And he said, that's a really important question. And you have to put this all into context about, you know, defunding. And essentially, in the summer of 2020, the pendulum really swung,
yeah.
right? Everyone in America saw these awful videos of police violence. And it was really punctuated at the end by that video of George Floyd, and that pushed you know, a culture of change and a culture to say we really do need to change the system of policing. And through that, a lot of discussions cropped up about not only defunding the police but abolishing the police, and they were kind of, you know, really far left ideas
yeah.
that got mainstream more. And it does feel in Chicago, at least, that the pendulum has swung a little bit back the other way towards kind of pro-law enforcement. But, and Johnson, when he ran for mayor, he was hit with the sound clip that he had said earlier while he was still a Cook County commissioner about defunding the police as a political goal. And he walked that back. He said, I'm not going to cut the police budget. But he has installed people within his administration in pretty high-ranking positions who have really, you know, explicitly advocated for that. So there are these lingering questions about, like, what is the motivation of the administration at the end of the day and what this could possibly signal in terms of them moving toward whatever goal they have for the police.
So I want to talk about something else you wrote about recently, Tom, which is that many CPD officers are leaving, right? Especially younger officers, newer officers. So talk to us about where they're going and why so many are leaving.
Yeah, and this kind of, you know, it's all kind of part of the same conversation about police staffing, right? We hear it over and over, right? Like all the department's biggest problems are hampered by a lack of staffing. And we have lost, I think if you look pre-pandemic to now, we're down about 1,600 officers. And, you know, people will say that hinders us from responding to 911 calls. That hinders us from solving crimes, hinders us from meeting our reform obligations. And so we were really interested in early career officers. Mm-hmm. And so we created a database and looked through it. And what we found was of the, you know, of a certain amount of officers, nearly 1,000 who had been hired either as a recruit or as a probationary officer, as an officer since 2016, were no longer on the city payroll. And that was for a variety of reasons, but most of them had just left. And of those who had left, hundreds are now at other law enforcement agencies within the state of Illinois.
So they've moved to other police departments. Some have quit. Some have been fired. Some have died.
Right. And some have went to the fire department. But yeah, you're right. Some have kind of burned out, washed out.
Mm-hmm.
A significant chunk of those were arrested, right? And some are still facing fairly serious charges. In one of the stories that we did, we focused on a former cop who is charged with shooting multiple people at a suburban bowling alley. You know, he's still facing felony charges for that.
Wow.
Others have died in the line of duty, like Ella French, and a lot of the most recent line of duty deaths have been these young cops. So it shows kind of the dangerous situations young officers are thrust into. And we wanted to explore this idea because it seemed to be a really significant number at a time when it's like, we need as many cops as we can. And it's like, well, you're doing the job of bringing these people in, right?
Yeah.
And you know, giving them costly training also in the process. And then they're just leaving on us. And we're left with still these problems. And so how do you deal with that moving forward of, like, retaining the people you've just recruited, essentially?
Yeah. So what is CPD doing to combat this loss of staff, especially given the tightened budget for 2025?
Yeah, they're trying to incentivize, you know, they've lowered hiring standards, right? In some ways, they are trying to incentivize keeping people around, like retention bonuses and things like that. So they, you know, we talked to the superintendent and he said he's very aware of this issue and they're trying to make CPD as attractive as possible. But he acknowledges that there's a real issue with essentially them walking out the door and going and working elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, CPD says the exodus of officers is slowing. I mean, but after reading your investigation, Tom, I don't know if that's what the numbers show.
Right. I mean, and we'll probably have to do this down the line again, right? And reanalyze the same sort of data sets and make that conclusion. That is what the superintendent said. Obviously, we had a period around that George Floyd time, right, where we saw a lot of later career officers retiring or resigning, and we did see younger officers as well. And I think one cop who we talked to who now works in Evanston,
mm-hmm.
and who worked at CBD, and he was actually friends with Ella French, he was talking to us about policies that were instituted by that former superintendent we talked about, Brown, earlier.
Yeah.
And they were canceling days off. They were extending your tours of duty, which means, you know, making you work more hours than a typical shift. And it was like, it was the burnout, but his now wife essentially said, it's either me or it's the Chicago Police Department. And he made a choice. And wow. He went to Evanston. He actually took a pay cut initially to do that.
You're talking about Officer Juan Navarrete.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Officer Navarrete made this choice, probably for his mental well-being and for his relationship. And he's very happy in Evanston. He's a field training officer. He's allowed, he's able to have a normal social and love life now. It's a kind of a sea change for him.
I bet that conversation's happening among a lot of police families, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. We've been talking with Tom Shuba, who's a Chicago Sun-Times assistant editor for criminal justice. Thank you so much, Tom.
That episode was produced by Jules Yeager and Linnea Dominic and edited by Meha Ahmed. Ari Mejia mixed the episode. We pair breaking news with nuanced conversations, so if you like this content, consider subscribing so you don't miss a conversation. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely